You're listening to the Experience Points Podcast, episode number 143 for the week of October 5th, 2011.
Back to the Experience Points Podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
My name is George Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a website dedicated to the serious but not humorless analysis of video games, culture, and sometimes sandwiches.
That's right, because who doesn't love a tasty sliced meat spread on a toasty bun?
I love it. You know, you go down to your local Subway, you never know who you're going to see. So many friendly faces, like neighbors, friends, loved ones, heroic video game characters.
Did you encounter someone at your latest Subway excursion, which I know you do weekly?
If by encountered you mean snuck up behind and just ever so carefully snapped his neck in two, yes.
That's correct. You are, of course, talking about Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake is at my local Subway.
And your local
hard times, so he has to get a second job, you know? Those plane tickets don't pay for themselves.
We're going to go ahead and include a commercial if you haven't seen it yet. I presume it ran on television, but I watched it on YouTube, and we'll go ahead and embed it into the show. But it's a Subway commercial featuring everyone's favorite Uncharted hero, Nathan Drake.
Hey, I'm Nathan Drake. If you're the adventurous type like me, then get in on the Subway Taste for Adventure for a chance to win epic trips and exclusive access to Uncharted 3. Get your code on 30-ounce drinks today. Subway, where winners eat. Now!
I wonder what Nathan Drake's favorite sandwich is.
I would have to say pastrami on rye. I know, I have no idea. I don't think he even eats sandwiches.
He's too busy jumping and busy shooting man. And just going on murder sprees to...
Although he's a busy man.
But
to be fair, that's exactly why he probably wants to eat Subway, because they deliver a sandwich in like 5 minutes flat.
I mean, when I saw this, I was watching TV... And
oh, you saw this on television?
I saw it on television.
Oh,
I was,
my God.
I mean, like, I'll set the scene. I was sitting on the couch. I was pretty sick. Like, I was under the weather. I think I was feverish. And I was watching Terra Nova, which is already tells you how sick I was. I mean, like, I was in bad shape. So I was just sitting on the couch watching TV. Then all of a sudden, you know, they break for their 50th commercial of the hour. And I see Nathan Drake holding a Subway soda cup in his hand. And my first thought was like, man, my fever is worse than I thought. Like, I see Nathan Drake talking to me about Subway. Like, maybe I should go to the doctor. But, like, so I confirmed this afterwards. Like, that was a real thing that I saw. There is a Subway Uncharted cross-promotional tie-in thing that's happening right now.
And it actually has, forget the voice actor's name.
Nolan North.
Nolan North, yeah. It actually has Nolan North talking about the qualities of Subway sandwiches, right?
And not only the weirdest thing, and the reason that we wanted to talk about it, is that it's not Nolan North, it's Nathan Drake. Like, there's no pretense that there is someone else controlling or acting out this character. The Uncharted hero, Nathan Drake, is now also a spokesperson, which is a fairly rare occurrence that we wanted to explore a little bit.
Yeah, so we've talked about in-game advertisement before on the podcast,
yeah.
But I think you're right. I think this is something that is uniquely different.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to start off here with saying something a bit positive about the commercial.
Right.
Subway is delicious. No, that's not true. Although it should be noted here that Subway, I believe, is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, fast food chain in the world. They have more locations than McDonald's at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. I mean, you go to pretty much any country, and those welcoming yellow and green colors, you know, they just make you feel like you're at home.
Yeah. Although I believe they serve like pita sandwiches in Greece and stuff.
Well, I mean, you want to be willing to kind of integrate yourself into the local culture wherever you are. I mean, Nathan Drake is a jet setter. Like, he's a cultured man.
So do you think he, like, those commercials have him eating falafel in India or something?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he goes to various countries. He wants to try, like, the teriyaki style. I mean,
yeah, the localization team will get to work on that right away. But one of the upsides, I think, is that, in all honesty, I think this sort of marks an important point in the history of video games in terms of their acceptability as character icons, right? Like, yeah. I think it means something that, like you said, it's not Nolan North. This is specifically Nathan Drake, mm-hmm. and he's a personality now,
yeah.
which means that Naughty Dog has developed a character that is interesting enough and charming enough and has enough sort of human characteristics for us to not only believe him when he's on a commercial, but find him a sort of approachable character, even though he's animated.
Yeah, and I think... You know, exactly what you were saying. I mean, there's very few video game characters that can be, well, maybe even approach being taken seriously as an actor outside of the game. And they've done so much work with Nathan Drake and the rest of the characters in Uncharted that you've basically created these virtual quasi-celebrities. What's that movie with, like, Robert De Niro and a virtual actress? Maybe it's not Robert De Niro, but, you know, like, or the idea of the Gorillas, like, the band, like, kind of a virtual performer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The animated band.
Yeah, and so it's now there's something like that for games and doing advertisements. All that being said, I mean, what, did it strike you as weird at all when you watched it? What were your first reactions?
I mean, similar to you, I thought at first it was a joke. Yeah. Like, this can't be real. Why would anybody do this?
Yeah.
What is that? And, you know, there are always commercials that are ridiculously over the top and stupid. We're used to that, right?
Yeah.
Like, we've seen commercials with celebrities, like, hawking all kinds of stupid shit that we mm-hmm. know for a fact they do not use in real life.
Especially, you know? Tommy Lee Jones and Arnold Schwarzenegger in Japanese commercials.
Right. Or, I mean, the biggest thing, too, is... It's done frequently in films, like Men in Black, for example, had commercials, tie-ins with other, you know, like fast food restaurants, or mm-hmm. Not by some weird coincidence, another Will Smith movie, but the Wild Wild West film, right? I recall having tie-ins in which they would be like eating McDonald's or some shit in the Wild West. Obviously, it doesn't make any sense. It's
yeah.
over the top.
Yeah.
But for a video game hero, I don't know. It's just it's so... It's so bizarre because I feel like we strive so hard to take these games seriously,
mm-hmm.
and then we see Nathan Drake completely, like, admitting to the fact that this is all over-the-top ridiculous, you don't have to buy any of it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the same scene. We see him running from, like, a flood, and he's got his Subway cup.
Yeah.
And then he catches it in midair, like, when he's hanging from
like a blimp or something, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's crazy.
They definitely took scenes that either are directly from or inspired heavily by the games and just kind of CG'd in within the CG, like a Subway cup or a, you know, a sandwich or whatever. So, you know, in the game, Nathan Drake every once in a while makes kind of a sidelong glance at the camera or gives a little wink at how ridiculous everything is. And like you were saying in the commercial, there's now this idea that this universe that he inhabits most of the time is itself a construction. Like, he's kind of self-aware of that because he also does this outside work.
It's,
you know,
his other career. Like, because Nathan Drake is actually concerned about, like, you know, his portfolio or what have you.
It's tough economic times, man. Like, you could, you know, once you find all the treasure in the world, like, what's he going to do? Like, be a professor somewhere? No.
It belongs in a museum anyway. He's not selling that on the black market.
I mean, I have a fairly checkered past with the Uncharted series as just kind of being a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I am like that is because I feel like the characters in Uncharted are really divorced from the player and the player's actions.
Yeah.
Like, basically, you know, we're just kind of bystanders or audience members in Nathan Drake's adventures. You know, we have some input here and there, but it's not as dynamic as a shooter like Halo. It's not as open-ended as a huge role-playing game. It's not as skill-based as something like Mario. Like, there, it's a very, you know, it's heavily scripted and tells a specific story. And this just exacerbates that. Like, now it's completely, you know, Nathan Drake completely lives outside of the realm of the player when you have him advertising things.
Well, they've broken the fourth wall, and then went ahead and broke the fifth wall as well.
The fifth wall of what? Like, I mean, entertainment? Just, like,
well, because all of a sudden, it's like, you know, Nathan Drake is... His adventures are fictitious, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's now playing around with Subway, and it's like a lighthearted thing. But then now, you've already broken the other wall between player and, you know, character.
Yeah, and it's just... they're just going... For the single player, anyway, which we might want to talk about later on versus the multiplayer... For the single player, they're going even more extreme. Like, they're making it, like, this character is largely autonomous from the player. Like, the player injects very little of their personality into Drake, to the point that Drake just kind of has his own little personality that he exercises when you're not even playing the game.
Yeah, it would have been much better if I could choose to advertise for Subway.
I mean, I'm sure they'll have some kind of Twitter integration that you could choose to advertise for Subway all day if you wanted to. Like,
yeah.
It's just that, you know, this character has now kind of taken on a weird, different corporate life of its own.
So, you know, we should say commercials have featured other video game characters, like Mario's been in McDonald's commercials.
Oh, yeah.
I seem to remember Sonic at some point being in commercials.
I mean, Sonic has been in McDonald's. Like, McDonald's has had plenty of different video game characters.
Right, and it's interesting, McDonald's in particular, as another fast food chain, seizing on to the sort of popularity of video games.
Yeah.
What is it specifically, though, about Nathan Drake being self-aware that makes it so different than another sort of video game icon being used to sell stuff?
We took a look at some of those old, especially like in the early 90s, like the real heyday of Mario, you know, that you could go to McDonald's and get your Mario on, and the commercials had Mario kind of jumping around in and out of McDonald's bags, but he was never acting in any way inconsistent to how he acts anyway in the game.
Yeah.
And he wasn't like, you know, coming up to the camera and you know, let me talk to you about the McDonald's, you know, like he never took on a role of a spokesperson. He was just more of a tool to shill things than anything else.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find out, like, I'm trying to figure out if there have been any other, like, specific characters that, you know, were anything more than a tool. And I don't know. I mean, can you think of any other games that, like, the advertising has seemed like it was the characters doing it rather than just a way to get people interested in both products at the same time?
No, and I think part of that is, at least in the era of voice actors, I've just never seen a voice actor hired to do... sort of advertisement work, and to some extent, why would you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reason people love Mario isn't because the voice actor is such an amazing guy.
Yeah.
Like, they like it because of the association of playing it.
Yeah.
And I do feel like Drake is one of those first people that has a personality that's so strong that you can have him saying things that you'll actually believe and selling you stuff, but just on that alone.
And, you know, you pointed out his personality is so strong that it is... one of the defining, is probably the defining factor. I mean, in terms of mechanics, Drake feels a lot like, you know, Marcus Fenix or Ezio or any of the other third person, you know, Leon Kennedy. Like, he feels pretty familiar, but he sounds a lot different.
Right.
You know, like, his personality is a lot different. It's kind of what defines him. And so he's uniquely suited to something like this because, you know, the association with Drake is not necessarily about the unique way you jump or shoot. It's about the unique way that the story is told through these lively characters.
Right. Do you think that this undermines the story of Uncharted?
It is kind of weird because, you know, I don't remember Indiana Jones shilling for Taco Bell or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then this kind of brings in to question in my mind, like, where does the Uncharted universe really take place in? Like, I'm misremembering, but I've never seen any other branded items in the Uncharted universe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does he wear, like, a Swiss Echo Citizen watch or something? You know, like,
Yeah, I don't recall ever seeing any product placement. And there are product placement in other games. I mean, racing games have a ton of it, right?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of shooters have, like, you know, cityscapes with real companies out there on the billboards or something.
Yeah, no, I don't imagine. That's one of the weirdest things is taking someone who has spent most of his time in like the mountains of Nepal and stuff, right? Yeah. Like, is there really a subway up there that he's going to be going to?
You just told me that it was the number one fast food that's true, penetration in the world. So you know, you climb Mount Everest, and you're like, oh, finally, I made it. I could really go for a $5 foot long right now.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, and, you know, it's kind of sad. Yes, I think it's indicative of a sort of iconic hero in a way we haven't had before. Mm. But it's almost sad to see him attached just to Subway, you know? Video games have long been associated with a sort of slacker culture, you know? Mm. Like, people kind of presume that you're probably not cooking for yourself. You're probably just eating top ramen in your mother's basement if you play video games.
The old Cheeto dust stereotype.
Yeah, the Cheeto dust. Good, yes. The Cheeto dust stereotype. Yeah. Or, you know, the Dominoes. Like, I remember World of Warcraft or some other MMO.
Remember Halo's big Pepsi campaign that they had when Halo 3 came out?
No.
Remember there was, like, Halo Pepsi cans, like it was branded, or Mountain Dew, or something right. like that. I forget which one it was.
Final Fantasy has had cans as well.
Yeah. But, again, it wasn't like, you know, this is Master Chief. In order to finish the fight, you're going to need to finish this 2-liter, you know?
But, I mean, I that's kind of the shitty thing, though, is, like, it's, you know, Nathan Drake is selling sandwiches, not De Beers diamonds, uh-huh. you know?
That'd be like, even worse. If he was selling diamonds, I mean, come on. Like, he knows how corrupt that whole industry is.
But the thing is, like, what icons sell, I think it's indicative of who they're selling to, right?
Yes.
Like, there's an assumption that, and it's probably, to be honest, a slightly correct assumption, that people who play video games are more likely to be persuaded by Nathan Drake to eat at Subway, you know? This isn't some, like, classy joint. This isn't a BMW commercial, right?
Yeah.
Like, when are we gonna see Lara Croft selling, you know, high-priced items to, you know, middle-class, upper-middle-class market, you know?
This is Lara Croft, and I want to talk to you about the professional MBA program at UC Berkeley.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I think we are now getting to what is actually going on here, because he's not just selling us sandwiches. Like, I mean, the sandwiches are a nice perk, but for players, especially serious players like you and me, he is selling something more important, and that is early access to the game.
Right, because that's what you get.
If you go to Subway, you buy a drink or something like that, you get a little scratch card that allows you to get into the multiplayer, like the full multiplayer.
Which is huge, to be honest. Like, the fact that I can play the full multiplayer today if I go to Subway.
Yeah.
You and I enjoyed the beta enormously.
Yeah.
And that was just a few maps.
Right, a few maps and you know, a fairly limited amount of customization and in terms of character and you didn't keep your stats or anything. So, you know, this is like a real incentive for serious players. And I'm wondering what you think of the implications of that, like ethics and otherwise.
Well, first off, before I answer that question, I just want to mention how awkward it will be when you join a match and you realize every single one of you has just gone out to Subway and eaten this 5-foot long.
Well, hey, five foot long, I can get behind
$5 foot long.
That'll last me until like level 30. Like,
you get the full game if you can eat that sandwich.
Well, I mean, you know, you look around at the map and you know, no one could say anything because you're all equally implicated and guilty.
Right, exactly. And to be honest, like that's kind of a strange experience. And I think it's weird that you're selling early access. It's not like they're the first company to do it, though, right? Like Portal, for example, did their sort of ARG campaign meta game.
Oh yes, yes.
To get early access to Portal 2. And it was only like a couple hours early access, not even that significant. And thousands of people played Valve's other games and bought Valve's other games in order to help sort of release Valve 2 early, right? Mm-hmm. They're selling things again, and they're selling game content again, but instead of selling sandwiches, they're selling game-related stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a bit more ethical, but people had major problems with Valve's campaign.
Yeah, that was a pretty controversial thing, and I liked what you wrote about it at the time, like, as far as it's something to think about, like, what are you actually buying here, and who's actually being served when something like this happens?
Right, like, there are relationships between developers and players even before you ever buy the game. And what you do before that influences that relationship, right? Yeah. Valve was trying their best to sort of foster a community that I think sort of backfired on them. I don't know what the sort of Nathan Drake selling sandwiches is really doing to my sense of community and belonging with the franchise.
Especially if that corporate relationship has direct ludic implications. I mean, right. It is my understanding that you'll carry over a lot of your progress because you're just getting early access. So people who wait until day one will be starting off on, you know, rank one, while all the rest of the Subway crew will have been playing this game for a month, you know?
That's going to be my new clan name.
The Subway Crew.
Yeah.
XXX Subway Crew X420.
Yep.
New clan name. It's weird because you're putting a price on early access to something, especially in the competitive sense.
Yeah.
I'd almost be more okay if you could get the campaign early. Because you're not cheating or you're not cheating anyway, but you're not getting any advantage over anyone else, except, you know, maybe your friends who don't want to play the game that early, or your fellow writers that don't want to have the game spoiled or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting to force all game journalists to go eat Subway first.
And you know what? People would do it. And I think, you know, we talked about this. Like, we are already kind of like, oh, I could buy a bag of chips or something, or I could buy a drink. That's probably worth it, you know? Like, I could play the multiplayer for, you know, $5 or whatever. And even if you don't get the full game, $5 for a month of multiplayer is, you know, not such a bad deal, especially if you like it. But, and that in of itself is a strange... And maybe a sense of the future of what's going to be happening. I mean, like, we're already talking about modern warfare and what's going to happen with the multiplayer versus the single player. You know, maybe you would buy $5 worth of multiplayer just to have that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this is a sign of things that could be coming down the pipe.
My fear would that it would start to be a sort of a micro managed monetization project in which, you know, instead of just getting the full multiplayer, you have a chance every sandwich you get to get a new gun, you know? But we laugh, but it's, you know, they already sort of do this with hats and Valve and all sorts of other stuff, right? Like, you could buy small aspects. You know, you could buy a gun in some games.
In the most recent Gears 3, you could buy, like, the rainbow gun or whatever for $3.
Right, why not attach that to a sort of a marketing campaign with a fast food restaurant,
yeah,
you know, or Doritos, or any other sort of company in which players can go there, buy small amounts of things, and maybe get a chance to get something, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just so bizarre, because then you start eking out content to players based upon their consumption habits in something that's completely unrelated to video games.
Yeah, yeah. Nike presents the rideable Brumac.
My question, though, is, like, why is this happening? Is it that, like, they want more money and this is just a way to help fund the last sort of polishing push? I just don't understand that. Is this something that has to happen, or is this just a way to make more? Like, Uncharted 3 is going to do fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it not making its money back. I think it's going to do okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we should think about that, because let's think about some possibilities. I mean, one is that Uncharted is coming out in a fairly crowded fall season, right? I mean, they're competing with Gears. There is Modern Warfare 3. There's Battlefield. Like, all of those games have really big multiplayer components behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they're trying to get the multiplayer out early to everyone, you know, try to establish that community.
Why not just release it early then?
Well, I mean, that's where the money comes in. Like, I wonder how much Subway is getting off of this versus how much Sony is getting off of this.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's not... It's a sort of... we must presume, right, that this is a publisher push.
Mm-hmm.
I have serious doubts that, like, Richard LeMarchand is like, oh, man, I love Subway. Somebody call them up. We need to set up a multiplayer deal, right? Like, this is... And maybe this is a good thing for them. You know, maybe this is helping them fund smaller projects.
Yeah.
You know, or I think more likely it's just a sort of test subject.
And I also think it's what... I mean, remember back from when we were playing the beta, like... They're trying something pretty big with the Uncharted multiplayer. Like, you know, remember that Naughty Dog TV little thing that was happening whenever you were in the lobby and, like, there was talk of you know, sporadically televising tournaments and other things like that.
And Subway commercials?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, they have to... They can monetize that. Like, in between gameplay clips, they are now, you know, paving the way for commercials while you're waiting for a game to load up.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just starting this relationship, you know? Like, this is the beginning of a broader monetization of segments of the game that don't even necessarily have to do with in-game stuff. Like, there's a lot of in-between game time that we don't really do anything while we're watching it except surf Twitter.
Yeah. It's hard because, to some extent, if this is helping subsidize other games in development, you know, if this means that Sony doesn't have to scrap some innovative or daring titles because they're making more money than they otherwise would have because of marketing campaigns, then maybe I don't have as big of a problem with it as I first thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and certainly if it's not in-game, then I have, what do I have to complain about? Like, there's an annoying commercial in between on multiplayer matches. It's the same can be said for watching television, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And I think especially our generation of people are fine with out-of-pocket free stuff supported by advertisements, you know, like something like Hulu or something like that.
Right.
And you know, because, you know, we think we are, anyway, fairly good at screening advertising out. We're probably not as good as we think we are.
Yeah, studies have shown that people think they're really good at it, but they're usually not.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, we might get hungrier and hungrier for a sweet Italian-style...
turkey breast.
$5 footlong, yeah. But, I mean, you know, this is just a new way of... I wish for... And I'm sure this is a very small subsection of players that, you know, we are a part of. I wish they were more transparent as to what they wanted to use this money for, rather than just giving their CEOs nicer cars or something.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And again, I think that relates to the relationship that we have with the people who make our games, right?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times, for the vast majority of gamers, they just don't even recognize that relationship is there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just them and the game that they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that we see that is around a game, I think, changes our expectations of what's to come from those developers and all of that. You know, like, there's a very sort of fine line of management that you have to think about when you're even making marketing campaigns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Subway might not be that offensive, but, you know, who knows what sort of things this could be attached to.
Yeah. I mean, well, and there are certain companies that personally you and I would be, like, more loath to buy from. Like, if this was something like you made the joke about De Beers, but if it was like De Beers, I'd be like, I don't know about that. I don't want blood diamonds in my Uncharted, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Or, I mean, Domino's, for example. Like, a lot of people have trouble with Domino's because they support a lot of GOP campaigns and things like that.
Yeah. And so it's funny, you know, we're always talking about games becoming part of a wider culture, and this is an aspect that doesn't get talked about a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, this is something that everyone has to deal with. You know, movie studios have been doing this for a long time, cross-promotional stuff, sports on television, like, all sports are brought to you by certain corporate sponsors. And now we're starting to see, you know, with Nathan Drake, much more explicitly the same thing happening and the same types of money exchanging hands. My hope is that the money would be more traceable. Like, that would be the only thing that I would ask right now is that where is this money going, you know, once they exchange it here.
I mean, it costs a lot to fly to the Middle East, you know?
I mean, there's a lot. He goes through so many bullets. And his healthcare costs are so high.
Astronomical.
Like, you just can't crouch behind a wall and regenerate your health.
Yeah, you're gonna need to eat a Subway sandwich.
so let's close this by putting it out there. Are we going to go to Subway and get access to the Uncharted multiplayer beta?
I mean, now I feel a little bad.
I know. This is a moral dilemma. Like, maybe, who knows if we'll come to a conclusion, but maybe we can hash it out a little bit here. Like, should we do it?
I mean, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, this is a sort of early... If this is an early test model, right, we could be complicit in sort of validating this sort of marketing campaign.
That's true, yeah. I mean, the more people buy it, the more they'll consider it a success.
At the same time, you know, it's not in-game advertising. That's nice.
Well, I mean, there are Subway items in the game.
Ugh.
Like, I mean, you can skin your gun for a specific Subway thing, and there might even be some kind of weird sandwich item in there. I don't know.
I mean, to be honest, I'm very tempted to go. Like, I really enjoyed the multiplayer, and I'd love to play it a month before release.
Yeah. You know?
Especially yeah. when I have other things on the docket. It'd be nice to be able to play Uncharted multiplayer while I'm doing something else, you know?
And it's insidious, because the way multiplayer works in this modern era is that people who get to play earlier and people who get to play more will always be better.
But that gap will shorten within, what, like 3 days?
I know, and that's why there's even more pressure. Like, by the time you jump in on launch day, if there's already been thousands of people playing, they'll all have rocket launchers and you'll have a little, like, pea shooter, you know?
But if anything, this is an equalizer for you and I, right? We go to Subway, we buy a sandwich and get into the multiplayer, and then that first week, when all of the, like, 8-year-olds are kicking our ass with rocket launchers, we also have rocket launchers that fire Subway sandwich torpedoes.
It'll give a whole new meaning to eat this.
I mean, I think if we're serious about this discussion, we are obligated to go to Subway to really experience the full
experience of corporate tie-ins. Get like a bag of Sun Chips and an afternoon of Uncharted.
Yeah. I don't know. I really wish that there's someone we could talk to about, like, why this is happening. Yeah.
Oh, man. Maybe we should send some emails or something. But by the time we figure this all out, the game will be out. You know, it's coming out in November or something like that.
Plus, I'm getting hungry, so.
So maybe we should just walk on down there and you know, poke around, sneak around a little bit. A sneaking mission. Send in a spy.
Well, I'm really looking forward to the day when Marcus Fenix does doing an advertisement for chainsaws at hardware stores near you.
Come to Club Osh. Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of any other real good, like, video game-esque celebrities that, I mean, if in retrospect, this makes perfect sense. Like, who else but Nathan Drake would do it?
Right.
Maybe we should just leave that as a final question for folks. If you all want to write in with your thoughts or your suggestions, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
Experiencepoints.net is our website, so we encourage you to come on down and leave your comments to this podcast. We update the site Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings, and we also write over there on Pop Matters, so come on by and check us out.
Yeah, and I mean, Taco Bell, if you're listening. I mean, Experience Points loves your chalupas. I mean, we could...
The double-deckers. Oh, my God.
Get in contact with us.
Yeah. Until next time, eat fresh, everybody.
Yo quiero Taco Bell. Take it easy.
Bye. Because I